What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Hey, Lauren, do you want to hear about a good deal?
Well, yes, Mason, I would love to.
Good, because I have a deal with your name on it.
Tell me more!
Well, in that case, GoDaddy.com is offering the best deals of a lifetime. For only $3.59 a month for a year, you can get GoDaddy.com's Economy Package.
Amazing! What do I get with the Economy Package?
You get 250 gigs of bandwidth, 5 gigs of storage, and up to 500 email accounts. You can get your website up and running.
I can?
Yeah. When you check out, enter code MUGGLE, that's M-U-G-G-L-E, and save 10% on any order.
Can you spell that again?
Yeah, I can. That's M-U-G-G-L-E.
Wow. Do any restrictions apply?
Some restrictions apply. See site for details. Get your piece of the internet at GoDaddy.com.
This is Professor McGonagall welcoming you to all to MuggleCast, hoping you enjoyed. Dobby, come here. Dobby!
Yes, well, I'd just like to say how very pleased I am to introduce MuggleCast to all of you. Thank you.
Because Voldemort chose midnight by looking at his watch, this...
You have proved yourself useful these past few months.
What did you just say?
I confess myself disappointed.
Yeah, I bet you do. This is MuggleCast, episode 147, for June 1st, 2008.
All right, after taking a week off, we are back!
And,
we're going to start the show with an email. It comes from Mike 28 of Federal Way, Washington. He writes, "Hi, MuggleCast. I love your podcast and think you guys do a great job every week. I have an idea for an old segment that you can update for today's modern MuggleCaster. Spy on Shane! We want to know what Ben Shane is up to and why he's not on the show. Just like in the old days when you'd bug Sparts, I think you should bug Ben. Maybe he can give us a butterbeer. Again, you guys are awesome. Laura's my favorite, but Matt is becoming a close second."
What now, Laura? I'm coming up next
to
now.
You.
Matt actually just did a little dance too, while he said that. It was kind of creepy.
I agree. Wait, what's this person's name?
What?
Mike, I'm very disappointed in you, Mike.
Oh, why?
How can you even compare Matt? I mean, just,
you can't compare Matt, but you can compare Matt with someone else. So, it's a good thing that Ben is joining us again this week. Hey, Ben.
Hey, guys.
Oh, wow.
There he is.
After yet another long hiatus, I know I keep doing this. I'm saying I'm going to be on, and then I never am on. I'm sorry, and broken promises, broken hearts, and blame me.
Broken dreams.
But it's good to be back. It's good to talk to you guys again and, you know, see what's up with this Harry Potter business.
A lot has gone on. No, a lot has gone on. Harry Potter is far from over. But anyway, we got a great show today, so we'll get right to it. I'm Andrew Sims.
I'm Ben Shane.
I'm Laura Thompson.
I'm Micah Tannenbaum.
And I'm Matthew B.
Took a week off, and we're back, and of course we have a lot of news to discuss. And Micah, you want to update us what's been going on in the news?
Sure. Ben, well, Ben, are you aware that we've completely changed the news? And I feel like you have to at least do an old version of how you used to make fun of me.
What? Oh, yeah. Oh, you mean, thanks, Andrew. Is that it?
Yeah, that was it. Good job.
So is the biggest news item the Andrew move to Southern California? Is that because that's what I feel like is big news?
Well, thanks, Ben. That's all he ever talks about. That's why.
Well, he's there now, so he can stop talking about it, right?
Yeah. Finally.
It's very, very exciting, though. It's very exciting, though.
So how did the news change? How's it different now?
Well, now Micah will just talk about... Well, instead of just reading all the news at once, he will introduce each item, and then we'll discuss it.
Oh, I see. So there's no longer... Yeah, so what happened to the old MuggleCast news studio, the one in New York?
It's still there. He's just doesn't record all at once from it. But anyway,
okay, just
unfortunately, we have to start with some sad news, Micah.
Yeah, very sad news. Last, I believe it was Saturday here in the U.S., we got news that Rob Knox, who was set to play, or actually I believe did record the part of Marcus Belby in Half-Blood Prince, was fatally stabbed in a street fight in London. And this got a lot of press, both obviously in the U.K. and then here in the U.S. as well. And I see that you made the point here, Andrew, that a lot of the story headlines were misleading. And
yeah.
I'm guessing that you're saying that
were.
Because it made it to seem as if the... I don't know. What was the point of...
Well, the headlines were young Potter actor stabbed to death.
Yeah.
And when you read that, it's like... Young Potter actor, young Harry Potter actor, Dan Radcliffe. It's just, it's, you know, very misleading.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the role that he played doesn't lessen the impact of this terrible incident, but you are definitely right. I remember when Micah actually linked the article to me and the top menu bar loaded before the rest of the page, I thought that something had happened to one of the main three.
Yeah.
So it definitely was really tricky the way they publicized it.
Well, they did that on purpose.
Yeah.
I think they did too.
Their
job, huh?
So, I mean, it still doesn't take away from the fact that this is very sad news, obviously, and our thoughts are with his family.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's terrible. Mm-hmm.
But in happier news, Sorcerer's Stone is being re-released.
Oh, wow.
Wow, that was a great transition.
Is this an attempt to cash in? I mean, you're re-releasing Sorcerer's Stone. I understand it's the 10th anniversary. But, I mean, really, do we really need another version of Sorcerer's Stone? Is this just going to keep happening with all the other books? You know, okay, well, it's 10 years since Chamber of Secrets was released. 10 years since Prisoner of Azkaban was released. I mean... Do we really need to do this? Are we that far removed from book 7 already that we have to start creating special versions of all these books?
Well, I think there's a good reason to recreate Sorcerer's Stone because it was the first one. But yeah, that's a good point. I don't know if they would actually recreate all 7 because that would, like, is Mary Grand Prix going to recreate all 7 covers? That'd be cool.
I mean, I don't see why not. Why not? Why wouldn't they milk it for all it's worth?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they will. Though, I have to say, I wasn't overly impressed with the new cover art.
I wasn't either, Laura.
You did? Oh, I love the Sorcerer's Stone cover art, this new one. Harry's so cute! I'm sorry, but I have to say
But
that.
Hasn't anyone... This is not exactly a new scene that Mary Grand Prix has drawn. She's drawn the same exact scene before.
Matt actually pointed out, he linked me to it, and we'll link everyone to it in the show notes, but yeah, Mary Grand Prix already drew the scene. It's just from a different angle, and like Harry's in the same exact pose and everything. It's interesting.
Mm-hmm. And he's wearing different clothes too.
The only difference is he's wearing clothes, right?
Yeah.
And a different angle. But I
kind of wish that
noting.
She drew like a different kind of scene that she hasn't done before.
Yeah.
Maybe something new for the fans to kind of see, a scene that they never saw drawn before or something.
Well, and the price on these books is very steep, too. Didn't I see that it was going to be something like $30?
Yeah.
I don't... 30... Well, let's see. What does it come with? It has a... does it have a special introduction by J.K. Rowling or something, I believe?
It's going to be released on the 23rd, costs $30.
And September 23rd.
Yeah, September 23rd, sorry. But I think you're right, Andrew. I think there was something... exclusive bonus material from J.K. Rowling. So.
Yeah, there it is. Yeah. I think this is exciting. I'm a really big fan of the cover. I think Harry looks really cute, I have to be honest. I don't know. I'm looking forward to it. Is everyone going to buy it? $30?
No.
No? Aw.
Aw.
I know, I'm such a dissenter. I just can't help it.
Well, I would probably buy it if they have like the whole series redrawn or something, but just for the one book that I already have like three copies of already.
Yeah. Ben, will you buy it?
I really would like to know what the bonus material is that they're talking about. I'm sure it's something cool, but I don't know if it's worth $30. I mean,
I have a question.
I'm just saying it's the same book.
Any of the profits go towards a charity or anything?
I don't think that's been said, actually.
Because then I would be inclined to buy it if I thought that there was a certain amount of the profits going to a good cause.
Yeah.
It doesn't say anything about that in the news release, but you never know. Somewhere down the line it might, but to me this seems more like a move by Scholastic than it is by J.K. Rowling. And usually when it's by J.K. Rowling, mm-hmm. it's for charity as opposed to, you know, the book company who's probably just looking to make some money off of it. And you're right, $30 is a lot of money to pay for this, but mm-hmm. I don't think I'd be inclined to buy it either.
You do have to keep in mind that J.K. Rowling is adding something to this book, so she can't be completely against it, you know?
Right. Well, but it's also, it's a hardcover edition, right? So maybe $30 isn't that much.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And basically, I think it's just sort of like, you know, a little refresh from an old friend or something. It's from the first series of the books.
What else is in the news, Micah?
Well, speaking of J.K. Rowling, we learned that she's going to be, or has already written, a little bit of a prequel to the Harry Potter series that's going to be auctioned off by Waterstones. And everybody got all excited because everyone thought, or at least when you first told me about this, Andrew, I thought that she actually wrote another story. But in fact, it's just an 800-word outline of something having to do with the Marauders. And I don't know, again, is this really that exciting? I mean, are people jumping up and down about this?
Yeah.
At this point, I feel like we're just kind of, you know, searching for stuff to talk about. I mean, in terms of news, it's like searching for new news, you know?
Yeah.
And I think we're Harry Potter fans, get excited about trailers, get excited about everything. So I'm sure a lot of people are visiting the site, and a lot of people listen to this definitely find this exciting.
I'm personally excited about this.
Me too.
You know, it's a new Harry Potter story. What's 800 words? So that's like two pages, right?
Well, they said it's the front and back of a card, right? I mean,
like an A4 sized card. I think it's pretty standard paper. 800 words is a good amount if you're typing that up. I mean, we've all been there with the 800-word reports or the 1,000-word reports. Sometimes it could be a bit of a stretch.
Well, I think it's definitely be worth a read anyway, since J.K. Rowling has given the time to actually written a story from her series.
I mean, I think it's a good move. I think it's something that's going to be interesting, but I really don't know how excited I'm going to be about it. I mean,
yeah. Well, it is a story of the Marauders, James and Sirius, I believe. So,
yeah.
Set 3 years before Harry's birth, right, Laura?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Well, that'd be kind of interesting to see. It's probably something they were in school with together, just to see a little more of James and Sirius's relationship when they were younger.
Mm-hmm.
It's all for charity, too. So
it's all for, yeah, there you go. And J.K. Rowling said herself that she knew that writing something related to Harry Potter would sell the best. So, smart move by her.
Good girl.
And then they're available, aren't they?
Yeah, you're going to be able to buy them online. You could pre-order them now, and it comes with Joe's story and the stories of the 12 other authors all participating in the story card charity, sponsored by Waterstone.
So, will the money go to charity from the book purchase as well, or just from the auction? Of the actual
from the book purchase too.
Okay, so
yeah, it's going to the English Pen and Dyslexia Action Charities. So there you go.
Good for them.
Ooh, yeah, good for them is right. God, how exciting must that have been? That's going to sell like crazy. What else is going on?
You put this thing up here about SuperCon down in Florida this past
SuperCon.
Week. So a few of the Harry Potter actors were in attendance, including Natalia Tena and Devin Murray, as well as a few others. And the big news out of SuperCon was that none of them have read Deathly Hallows.
Really?
Wow. Is anyone really that shocked?
Mike, I got to disagree with you. I don't even think that's the biggest news. The biggest news is that Hugh Mitchell has long, wavy hair and looks like a rock star now. He used to be innocent Colin Creevy.
I didn't read that story. I just kind of took it off of what you put here, so I apologize.
Well, it's okay. If you look at the picture, you'll see Hugh Mitchell. He's changed so much. It's kind of crazy.
He's towering over everyone, too.
He's really tall. Yeah, you know, a few years does a lot to you.
They haven't read the last book. I think it's not the end of the world. I think there do exist people who haven't read Harry Potter.
Yeah, I mean, they
missed out. Obviously, they don't know what they're missing, but
yeah, a lot of people in the comments have been saying, well, you know, you would expect them to have read the books that they're going to be in. I guess mostly Natalie Tena and Devin Murray. Hugh Mitchell's done with Potter, it seems, although he does appear in the seventh book. So
yeah, well, he dies.
Yeah, so I don't know. Yeah. What else is going on, Micah?
It was pretty busy. I mean, it's only been busy because we've been gone for two weeks here.
Yeah.
John Hurt, who played Ollivander in the first Harry Potter movie, he spoke with The Sun earlier this week, and he said that although nothing was going on for Half-Blood Prince, that he might be spending some more time around the Harry Potter set for the next one.
Mm-hmm.
What a tease.
But, yeah, that's exciting. And Matt mentioned this a few weeks ago. I think we were talking about it on the show a few weeks ago, that one of John Hurt's going to be back. And here's a little thing from him.
Yeah, I thought was really weird. Matt was talking about it, and then we got this article. So, I don't know.
Well, he listens to the podcast. I didn't bring that up when we were talking about
really?
That.
Oh,
really?
Yeah.
Oh. That explains a lot. Cool.
Yeah, no, he has a MuggleCast t-shirt. He told me he's wearing it for National MuggleCast t-shirt day, so...
Sweet. On June 2nd.
Okay. Well, that's good. Hopefully he takes a picture and sends it in.
Yeah.
Well, I'm really excited that he actually announced that he will be back, which just, you know, confirms that they're going to have that big scene between Harry and Ollivander in Deathly Hallows. Yeah.
And then finally, you know, I always love talking about this. This is my favorite news discussion topic. Pictures.
Yay!
From Half-Blood Prince. Does anybody care? I mean,
yeah,
really.
Why not? Why wouldn't you care?
I don't care. I want to see a trailer. I don't give
Come on. Pictures used to be very exciting things back in the day. Are they just not what they used to be?
Yeah, back in the 1950s, maybe.
Oh, good one. They're exciting. They're exciting. A year ago, the last film.
Well, the problem.
Yeah, I still think they're exciting. Pictures can definitely be exciting.
Micah, I think you'd be excited for this picture if they already had the teaser out. I think you're just bitter that they haven't released it yet.
They're just keeping
you in suspense. I don't think we're getting it.
Oh no! We'll get it probably about a week before the movie gets released, or somewhere around there.
Yeah, tease it right before it comes out.
Yeah.
No. Well, okay, here's my thing with these leaked pictures. I've talked about it before. I won't spend more time on it again this week, but they've been coming out every Friday. For the past 3 weeks, there's been a new leaked, small leaked Half-Blood Prince photo. And it's just like, okay, it's not, you know, it's...
We're not stupid.
It's kind of stupid.
Yeah.
Who else would be behind, like, okay, maybe there's someone inside WB... you know, leaking these and WB doesn't know about it. But then wouldn't WB ask us to take these pictures down? It just doesn't make sense. But this new one that just came up on Friday is a nice picture of Snape, Draco, and Filch all standing in Slughorn's party. And I think it's a nice picture.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's a great picture.
I'm going to tag him on Facebook. I like it. Sorry, Micah.
It's kind of boring, though. How come we're getting all these pictures where there's really nothing really going on? There's no action. They're just standing
there. Those are locked away in a vault where someone can't actually leak the pictures, I guess.
Maybe that's why we don't have a trailer yet. Maybe something's gone terribly wrong with all the action scenes. The CGI is down.
Oh, my God, Laura, that's a great theory. The special effects department is like, on strike or something.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, that would be terrible.
Okay. Well, that does it for news this week. Moving on to announcements. Matt was just checking Podcast Alley, and we're number one this week, right?
We are still number one. Well, let me check.
Woo!
I checked last night, but
thank you
today for
voting for us. And, you know, it is MuggleCast May. Well, actually, now it's MuggleCast Moon, so make sure to get your vote in. Because, Ben, what we've been doing is we encourage the listeners, we have to be number one on Podcast Alley each month that starts with M. So, you know, MuggleCast March, MuggleCast Maple, MuggleCast Moon now.
No, it's like Majune.
Majune. So...
yeah.
Thank you, everyone, for voting
this
for us.
This is also the time that the other podcasts like to get voters to go out and vote right before the month ends, so it looks like they were up top for the entire month. Do you notice they did that to us last month?
Yeah. But they won us by, like, 5 votes the last hour.
Not cool.
Month. So not
And also,
right.
MuggleCast T-shirt day is June 2nd. That is Monday. So make sure you wear your MuggleCast T-shirt. If you don't have one, if you didn't buy one when we were selling them, unfortunately, we can't sell them anymore. But if you do have one, make sure you wear it. If you weren't able to buy one, create your own. Take a picture of yourself wearing it somewhere out in public and send it on into andrew@staff.mugglenet.com and put T-shirt day in the subject and then in the subject line, and we'll create a little gallery so everyone can see everyone showing their MuggleCast pride.
Then we have to do that, right?
Well, you got like 5.
Well, I hope you do.
We have to take the pictures?
Of ourselves? Well, you know, have someone take a picture of you.
Unless
you're
not a loser and have friends.
Yeah, but we already have pictures of ourselves in our shirts.
Okay.
Can't we just be lazy and pull them off Facebook? You know?
Sure, Laura, yeah.
No, okay. No.
Take a new picture. Make Matt happy.
All I wear is MuggleCast T-shirts, so...
Me too. All you wear is MuggleNet T-shirts, Ben.
I've been wearing the No City is Safe T-shirt every day. Seriously.
Really?
I lived at Emerson's house, you know, and in the basement at Emerson's, there would be just like boxes filled with those T-shirts we left there over the summer. And so whenever I ran out of laundry, I would just go down there and I'd grab a huge stack of T-shirts and take it up to my room, and I would just have a big pile of MuggleCast T-shirts in the corner. But they're so comfortable, though. I wish we could sell them because they're so comfortable.
It's very fashionable.
They're definitely worth buying.
Word has it that if you attend Portis, you'll be treated to a new MuggleCast Portis T-shirt.
Mm-hmm. MuggleCast what T-shirt?
MuggleCast Live at Portis.
Ooh.
Yeah,
ooh.
That's nice. Ooh. In the works now. Anyway, let's move
no
on
city
to Muggle
is
Mail
safe.
This week. No City is Safe, correct. Well, this one may have a better. I was thinking for the Portis shirts, it could say, every theory is bigger in Texas, or each theory are bigger in Texas, something like that. We'll talk about it later. Anyway, let's move on to Muggle Mail this week. Laura, you want to take the first one?
Sure. Our first Muggle Mail comes from Helen, 25, of Hinsdale, Illinois. She says, "Hey, MuggleCasters, I love the show. I have a correction of a correction. Someone emailed in last week, I think her name was Danielle, about Trelawney and Malfoy in the Room of Requirement. She said that the reason everything went dark when Trelawney entered the room was because Malfoy didn't want her there, and so the room threw her out. In fact, Malfoy used the Peruvian instant darkness powder that he bought from the Weasley's Wizard Wheezes to blind Trelawney and throw her out himself. He could still see because he had his Hand of Glory, which gives light only to the holder. He used the same tactic when the DA were stalking out of the room on Harry's orders a little while later. Malfoy used the last of his darkness powder to blind them and leave the Death Eaters through and into the school."
So there you go. So when we had a rebuttal last week or 2 weeks ago, that actually created a little more controversy.
Yeah.
And
you know, it takes some real skill to catch a correction of a correction, you know?
Yeah.
Takes some real skill.
It takes some real stupidity on our end to put in an email that was incorrect.
Yeah, who did that? They should
probably
be fired.
It was
Andrew,
let's just blame
him.
But one of us... But one of us read it. It wasn't.
Give him a break. He's done like 150 of these. Okay.
Yeah.
Poor guy.
Look at Ben sticking up for me for once.
The next one comes from Molly S. 17 of Schenectady, New York.
Ooh, say
we have
again.
A lot of fans.
Hey, wait a sec, say that again.
Schenectady.
Okay. Cool.
We have a lot of fans there, don't we?
We do. Apparently, area code or zip code 12345, right?
Correct. Yeah.
That's so cool. Anyway.
In response to Chapter by Chapter in episode 146, where you're talking about passwords to the various common rooms, the common rooms are not only password protected, but the only the members of that house know the exact location. In Chamber of Secrets, when Harry and Ron were looking to get into the Slytherin common room to interrogate Malfoy, they did not really know where the entrance was. Also in Deathly Hallows in Chapter 22, maybe 23, Fenrir Greyback asks the trio where the Slytherin common room is. He also says that most people they ask don't know where it is located. The only reason that Harry has a much better idea of where all the common rooms are is that he can see where students of various houses disappear on the Marauder's map. Another important thing is that all the guards of the houses, i.e. Fat Lady, can see who they're letting in. They may not say anything to random people that are not looking to enter the common room. Love the show, especially Chapter by Chapter, Molly.
Aw, thanks, Molly.
So that was kind of a correction too, wasn't it?
Yeah, but it's an addition to what we were talking about. The locations, I mean, I have a harder time believing that so many, like, I would think the majority of students know where the locations of each of the houses are. I mean, you would overhear it at some point in your 7 years of being there.
That's like going to college and not knowing where one of the dorms is, I think.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah. And also, Harry knew so much about the Slytherin common room because he'd been there. Mm-hmm. So,
right.
He was a rebel.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. I think the whole house thing is pretty interesting in terms of security and all that. But next email, Ben. Final one for today.
Lizzie, age 15, from England, has emailed us regarding recording in cinemas, and she writes, I was just listening to MuggleCast 146. I was completely horrified to hear a listener challenge that would involve breaking the law as recording within cinemas is illegal. One of you mentioned this, but this was waved off. Please don't do this again. It is a bad influence from a wonderful podcast. Lizzie.
Aww.
You know what? Well, thank you, Lizzie. I'd like to thank you. That's actually why I came on this week, was because I realized that Andrew was using the podcast for bad influence, and decided I had to put a stop to it. So that's why I'm back, and I'll make sure that Andrew's kept in line. And
do you need to give me a butterbeer?
I'll add a butterbeer.
So, okay, about this, just real quick, we did this with Order of the Phoenix, and we didn't get many complaints. We got a few complaints this time, and I just want to say that do it if you want to. If you're unsure, if you think you'll get caught, if you know, we're not responsible for anyone getting caught. We did it with Order of the Phoenix. There were no issues or anything that went wrong. Not to say that it couldn't go wrong with Half-Blood Prince,
Andrew,
but it's just a fun little thing.
But Andrew,
You would get in trouble for recording the movie. Don't record the movie you're seeing the trailer with. It's just at the end of the trailer, I record a quick 5-second thing.
You don't even have to record the whole trailer.
Yeah, and if you're unsure, don't do it. Please don't do it.
The bottom line is it's breaking the law.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So,
thanks, Ben.
Like, I just really wouldn't encourage it. I mean, unless you're a real rebel, unless you want to show that you really like MuggleCast. I mean, if you really like MuggleCast, you do it. But I'm just kidding.
Oh, jeez.
I'm just kidding.
Oh, jeez.
I'm sorry. I'm not funny.
All right.
I quit.
Oh, Ben. All right, well, it's time to move on to Chapter by Chapter. This week, we're going to be discussing Chapter 31, The Battle of Hogwarts. What an exciting chapter.
Yeah.
Which book is
a
this?
Long one.
Well, the chapter opens as the entire school is being gathered in the Great Hall. And throughout the chapter, Harry is basically running around trying to figure out where the Diadem of Rowena Ravenclaw is. During this chapter, Ron and Hermione have also gone missing, and he really can't decide where they've gone to. And in the meanwhile, the battle has begun, and they only have until midnight to either decide on a battle plan or hand Harry over to Voldemort.
Mm.
Ooh. So, as was previously stated, the entire school has been gathered into the Great Hall, and Professor McGonagall essentially tells everybody that all underage students have to be evacuated, but if you are of age, you can stay and fight. And I thought this scene was kind of funny because it talked about how the entire Slytherin table left and that there were remnants of students left among the other three houses, but she had to come and shoo away like half of the underage students from Gryffindor because they wouldn't leave, and I just thought that was really great. And I wonder how they're going to handle that in the movie, because you know sometimes they haven't paid that much attention to the age restrictions in the films.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I wonder how many people will actually stay.
This is also very telling of a Gryffindor, too. And, I mean, I guess that's the point you were getting at.
Yeah.
Just that so many Gryffindors would stay behind even though they were underage.
One of the Slytherin students asked Professor McGonagall where Snape is, and Professor McGonagall replies that Snape has, for a common phrase, done a bunk.
I didn't even know what this meant.
Yeah, I didn't know what it was either. Yeah. That's why I looked it up, and it's English slang for leaving without permission.
Oh, well, thanks. Good for looking that up.
Mm-hmm. Well, see, I have the UK version, though. Is that in the US version, too?
Yeah, yeah, it is.
How does that even relate, though? Like, you, but like a bunker? Like, you're, like, hiding in a bunker? I don't
know. No, I don't know. They just have weird phrases for things. I don't know.
Yeah, they are pretty weird over there. Sorry,
yeah,
in advance.
Because we don't have any weird phrases over here.
No, we don't. Like, bucks. Ben always used to be upset when I would say bucks instead of, like, dollars.
Oh, really?
Hey, Ben?
No, that wasn't why. No, that's not even what it was at all. Because you said cash. You said cash. It wasn't bucks.
Who says cash?
I say cash. People on the East Coast, civilized people, say cash.
No, it wasn't like that at all. You guys wouldn't understand. You have to be around him to hear him say it.
All right. Yeah, whatever. I still say it.
It would slither up your back the way you said it and, like, make you...
Brother,
make you shake. I swear.
Was I like speaking parcel tongue? I just said cash. Cash. Anyway, so next what happens is they hear Voldemort. He can, as Hagrid says later on, you could hear his voice all the way up from the cave he was hiding in. And he says he issues this ultimatum, issue Harry Potter by midnight. And he said if they do give Harry Potter to Voldemort, they will be rewarded. And did this mean rewarded with their lives, or was Voldemort going to give them all like a souvenir from the event? Like, I survived Voldemort's attacks on Hogwarts. Shirt.
Actually, he was going to bake them all cookies, I think, and
cute.
Give them little gold stars.
That's
so cute. No, I think obviously, I think he was lying.
Yeah. I mean, well, basically, I mean... most of the students who are going to be stopping and fighting are mostly half-bloods or mudbloods who aren't really going to get any mercy from Voldemort anyway. And
but does Voldemort really think kids would fall for the, you know, teasing them with a reward? Like, oh my god, a reward!
Well, he's threatening them with their lives right now. I mean, I don't think that... I mean, not kids or adults, they don't think very straight sometimes when their life is being threatened that, you know, forcefully.
Well, and I also think Voldemort's trying to threaten them in a very utilitarian way, just in saying, if you give me this one person, you will all live. But if you don't give him to me, you will all die.
But we believe him anyways, you know? Though.
No, they shouldn't, but I can see why he would try to use that tactic.
I mean, bottom line is if he wants to kill them all, he's probably going to kill them all. If they give away Harry, that's their only hope.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't. I don't even think he really cares if they do give him up or not, because he knows he's just going to go in there and kick the crap out of everyone who's inside.
But he didn't.
Also, Voldemort says by midnight, and it reminded me of, you know, the very Cinderella-ish. You know, what was the thing? If you wear the thing by midnight, you turn into a pumpkin or a
frog
or something like that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's it.
I'm sure the wicked stepmother didn't.
Ben, you would know Cinderella.
Well.
Yeah. Yeah, I took time to work on a personal project as a Cinderella podcast. Didn't get very
pumpkin
far,
cast.
Sorry.
So are there any other connections with the by midnight thing? I just thought that was sort of very symbolic.
I just think Voldemort looked at his watch and he said, oh, well. I'm just going to give him 30 minutes, that's it.
Is 30 minutes good? Yeah, I think good. Okay, you got till midnight.
Well, it is.
I got to catch late night with Conan.
It is a very common literary device. I mean, midnight.
Well, it's midnight's the end of that day.
Yeah.
It's pretty much to say
after
midnight.
By the stroke
the next
of midnight.
Day, so.
I just thought Voldemort was too cool to issue an ultimatum by midnight. I think he's cooler than that.
Whoa,
sorry,
Laura.
So
what would be cooler than that? By 7:30.
No, get him out here ASAP or get him out here in 15 minutes. Instead, it's by midnight.
Well, see, no, but see, the thing about Voldemort is he's always done that. Like, with Harry's mom, he gave her a chance. He likes the bargain a little bit.
Yeah, true. True, Ben.
Yeah. Well, you know what's interesting about this is this gives you a scope as to how long this battle actually lasts. Because it doesn't end till morning, and it starts at midnight. So you're looking at 6 or 7 hours of combat, which is...
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Well, in the next point we're talking about, you kind of see where the loyalties of most of the Slytherin house lie. In the previous chapter, McGonagall actually told Slughorn that the Slytherin students were going to have to decide which side of this war they were on. And in this scene, Pansy Parkinson stands up and points to Harry and says, well, look, everyone, Harry's there. Just why don't we give him to Voldemort and be done with it? And all three Ravenclaw, Hufflepuff, and Gryffindor houses stand and face towards Pansy and pull their wands out. And I just thought this was a really great contrast to the way the majority of the school was portrayed as being against Harry in Order of the Phoenix, just because next to no one believed that Voldemort had come back.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's kind of hard to not believe him now, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just interesting because he used to be scorned a lot, you know? People would make fun of him and that kind of thing. And he's really gained a lot of respect from his peers. So I think it's a transforming moment.
That's another way you feel good with the Harry Potter series, too. Whenever these big turnaround moments occur, it's it's really feel good, you know, like when Umbridge
was... Yeah, this was very one of those uplifting moments that you got right before, like, the big fight. Like, how many people that you didn't expect come to your aid.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you're not going to like me saying this, but I think it's going to be a cool movie scene.
Thank you. I was afraid to say that because Andrew's right next to me.
Well, you know for everyone who doesn't know, after we recorded last week, I was like, guys, I feel like there's a lot of movie talk in chapter by chapter. Maybe we shouldn't do that. And they all attacked me like, oh, I want 2G. So,
And you know what? I have to kind of counter that and say it could also be a really cheesy scene
if they
shoot it wrong.
Be.
They could really mess it up. So
I could just see Pansy, you know, saying her lines to get Harry into him, and then it cuts to a shot of everyone facing the camera, all pointing their wands at the camera and you know, really pointing at Pansy. That would be cool.
Well, it's possible they may even just cut that part right there, that scene too.
Yeah,
yes. But haven't they? They casted an actual Pansy again, haven't they, for the 6th book?
Yeah, they did.
Well,
yes,
then,
they did.
And since David Yates is doing the next 2-parter movie, also, he may have her in mind to be in that scene.
And what an appropriate name for
Pansy!
Part of the
That's
book.
True.
Yeah.
what a little Pansy!
I have another word, but this is a G-rated show.
Yes, it is.
Is it? Hasn't always been in the past.
Well, not for
but,
you, Laura. All
your
curses come through loud and clear.
Hey, now, that's not my fault. Blame the editor.
That's my fault. I take full.
I think Andrew actually messes up other people's and does his own perfectly just so everyone else looks worse than him.
Yes, I do. I tweak every sentence to make sure it sounds perfect. I'm so well-spoken once I'm finished editing.
You fans have no idea
how terrible
his grammar is.
This is to listen to when we're actually recording.
Really,
it's just awful.
It takes me 10 minutes to get a word out. Anyway, let's stay on topic here. The professors organize a battle plan in which the students will be split between the towers and the grounds to defend Hogwarts. And then as the battle begins, Harry's looking desperately for the Horcrux. And this is another great movie scene. I mean, this is another one you really picture in your head because all the kids are running around him. And I really hope, it's a shame Mikey isn't here because Mikey could really, you know, agree with me on this. I really hope they use like a very shaky camera while following Harry to show the sort of the craziness that is ensuing.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that would be really good. I just have this visual of how they're going to, like, do these scenes. I just imagine one of those great pans across, you know, the Hogwarts grounds as people are running out of the castle and going into the towers. And I think it'll look fantastic. I can't wait.
Yeah, it will. So then what happens next?
Was this a little weird, though? I mean, Harry's just standing there, and then all of a sudden Professor McGonagall comes up to him and says, hey, aren't you supposed to be looking for something?
Well, he had forgotten about it because he couldn't find Ron and Hermione. They just disappeared.
He did get sidetracked, and, you know, McGonagall just came up behind him and said, like, dude, what's up? You're supposed to be looking for something.
Well, it was good to see this because it shows where Harry's priorities are.
Yeah.
He hasn't, like, completely thrown worry about Ron and Hermione out the window. He puts them first, it seems.
So. Well, and it also goes to show that he's finally realized he doesn't have to be in this alone. Because for so long, he just touted on about how, oh, Ron and Hermione can't come with me. I have to do this alone.
Yeah,
but
the hero
in the book,
syndrome.
He actually... Yeah, he was actually he said something along the lines of he couldn't even focus on trying to find what he needed because he couldn't do it without Ron and Hermione.
Yeah, it's true.
So it was another one of those good defining moments. Mm-hmm. And actually, after after this, he realizes, you know, that Voldemort knew that Harry would pick up on the association between the Horcrux and Ravenclaw. So that's why he had Amicus and what was the other one's name?
Electo.
Electo. That was why he had Amicus and Electo guarding the Ravenclaw common room. So he runs into Nearly Headless Nick and he asks him to help him find the Ravenclaw ghost. And when he sees her, he notices that she does this weird thing where she sees him looking at her and she tries to escape. She floats through a wall. And he finally gets to her and asks her about the diadem. And he finds out that she's actually the daughter of Rowena Ravenclaw, which was very interesting.
Yes.
Especially considering the story behind it. Well, we also find out about her relationship with the Bloody Baron, which actually explains why he is bloody. Because essentially what happens is Helena Ravenclaw, which is the name of the Grey Lady, stole her mother's diadem and went to Albania with it and hid it in the trunk of a tree. And when she was hiding there, Rowena was on her deathbed, and she sent the Bloody Baron, who had actually been in love with Helena, to come and find her. But when she refused to go with him, he stabbed her and killed her. And when he realized what he'd done, he then killed himself.
How does that situation play out?
It's an act of passion.
Your mom wants you. No, I'm going to kill you then.
Well, she basically said something along the lines of he couldn't stand how free she was. Something along the lines of he was jealous of her independence, and he was jealous that he couldn't tame it. So he killed her in an act of passion, and then once he came to his senses, he then killed himself. So it was really interesting, I thought, to hear about the stories behind a couple of more of the Hogwarts ghosts, just because we didn't know about them, and there were some things about the ghosts that weren't clarified. So
yeah. What's interesting is that all the way back in episode 61. On our Halloween episode, we try to figure out just what's with the Bloody Baron and why is he so bloody. And we also asked about the Grey Lady, and so it's kind of interesting that 100 episodes later, we're finally discussing their importance in the series. But I just thought I'd throw that in there. So yeah. we were thinking about it all the way back in 2006. But
yeah. That was a good, very timely discussion, too, that Halloween ghost.
Wow, that was a great show.
We discussed or debated whether Halloween is a morally vapid holiday, which encourages delinquency.
Yeah.
Right, and Jamie complained that Halloween's like a bad holiday for whatever reason.
He's just jealous because he doesn't celebrate.
All right, so moving along, Harry then discovers that she had hidden the diadem in the trunk of a tree in Albania and makes a connection, realizing Voldemort had once hidden there. He then asks her if she told this story to another student, Tom Riddle. And of course she says yes, because he was very charming.
Yeah. And this chapter is full of so many defining moments in this book series, I've noticed. Just like I know that at least when I was reading the book for the first time and she said, "I hid it in Albania," I was like, oh,
You
can bleep that. But that was definitely my reaction, so.
Yeah. It's like, cripe, you only got till midnight. Running out of time.
Go ahead, Micah.
No, I mean, this is just one of those chapters, again, and I understand you got to get to the point, and you got to find the Horcrux, and you got to destroy it. But it all just goes back to, this is similar to me to how they infiltrated the ministry and just things were just a little bit unrealistic in a sense. This part of the chapter is like, oh, well, he's been at Hogwarts for 6 years, didn't even know that the Grey Lady was the Ravenclaw house ghost, and then all these things start falling into place out of nowhere. It just seemed a little bit too easy for me.
Well, to be fair,
how come
though,
nobody knew? I mean, do you think anyone, even the ghost at Hogwarts, knew she was the daughter of Rowena Ravenclaw?
Well, he asked Nearly Headless Nick, who's the Ravenclaw house ghost. and he's
a Gryffindor house ghost.
Right, but he was almost offended that Harry didn't know that it was the Grey Lady.
Right.
Yeah.
No. I think, wasn't he offended that he wanted to ask the Grey Lady and not him?
Yeah, I think that's right. But, I mean, it really wouldn't be that surprising because you can't assume that all the ghosts are of the same vintage, if that makes any sense. Obviously, the Grey Lady and the Bloody Baron are, but if Nearly Headless Nick was born hundreds of years after the Grey Lady, who's to say that he would know she was the daughter of Rowena Ravenclaw?
Right.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, as soon as you find out... You kind of see, like, oh, well, duh. I mean, it's almost kind of obvious.
Well, and in all fairness, too, even though Harry didn't really know the Grey Lady was the ghost of Ravenclaw, the fans did, or at least should have, because Joe did say that at one point, if I do recall correctly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, Micah, also, I mean, you said it seemed a little too convenient. I mean, at this point, it doesn't surprise me that Harry can work this all out in his head, because I know what you mean. There was a lot of Harry just working through all this, but it did all connect, I think.
Yeah, it...
And I think the big clue was that Voldemort was telling... Voldemort had two of his Death Eaters waiting for Harry in Ravenclaw's common room, so he knew Harry was onto something.
Yeah, but, I mean, I'm just referring to the part where, you know, nobody had seen the diadem in living memory, and then all of a sudden Harry goes, oh, in living memory, I should go talk to a ghost. And it's kind of like the same thing that happened when he sees the gargoyle's head on the floor, and all of a sudden it triggers the whole, you know, statue that he saw in Xenophilius Lovegood's house, and that triggers, you know, the thing that he saw in Half-Blood Prince when he was hiding the potion book. It was just, I don't know, it was too coincidental.
Well, you know, Micah, you're a sports fan, right?
I am a sports fan.
Did you watch the Lakers-Spurs last night?
I did.
Did you see how in the end, how Kobe Bryant just had that killer instinct and he just went for it, you know? You know, like, yep. How it makes a man a legend?
It does.
That's what Harry Potter was doing. He had to figure everything out instantly, you know? It had to happen. It had to come to him. He's Harry Potter.
Right.
He had to come through in the clutch. Otherwise, he wouldn't be Harry Potter.
Right, yeah, and this is the Harry Potter series where everything is resolved at the end of the book.
So. All right. I'm just trying to create some discussion.
No. You brought up very good points, Micah.
I'm sorry,
and
Micah.
Ben brought up a very good point, too.
No, it's fine. Kobe's a good player.
You guys kiss and make up? We're all good now? We can move on?
We're good.
So, well, I mean, we've been discussing all this after realizing that Voldemort had picked up the diadem... had picked the diadem up while hiding in Albania. Harry remembers that Voldemort had attempted to get a teaching job at Hogwarts and that he must have brought the diadem back and hidden it in the castle then. And of course, you know, this is like we were saying, Harry's making all these connections. And then, who does Harry run into?
Voldemort.
No.
No, oh. I think someone should do the voice.
Oh, yes. Hagrid.
Oh.
I'm looking, waiting Hagrid. For Ben to catch on.
What are we talking about?
I was about to do a Dumbledore, but I don't think you ran into him.
No, I don't think so. Harry runs into Hagrid. This is okay, Micah. I can agree. I can see this is a little convenient, but
well, it's more like Hagrid rams into Harry.
Yeah, no, but I mean just the timing of it all. It's a very nice coincidence, and also in the book, Hagrid is described as running, so I'm really looking forward to seeing him actually run along with Fang and Harry. That should be a pretty funny sight.
Yeah.
So then, of course, this is when Harry realizes, oh, okay, it was the room of requirement. Voldemort's too stupid to think that nobody else would be using it, that nobody else would discover it. But, of course, Harry did, and did many other people.
Well, this is the part that I was talking about before, not to go too crazy, but all these connections that he starts drawing once he saw the head of the statue of the gargoyle that was lying on the floor.
Yeah. No, yeah, I understand what you're saying, but at this point in the game, Harry's in his seventh year. No, he's not. Yeah, he is. His seventh year of Hogwarts, and Harry's a smart guy. And maybe he works best under pressure, when he knows he has only so much time to figure everything out. You know, things just click with him.
Well, it's kind of like, you know how there are some people, myself included, who write possibly the best papers they will ever write in their lives when they haven't started them until midnight the day before they're due?
Right. So, I personally work best under pressure.
Yeah.
And I'll just work nonstop until it's done.
Well, it's because we're deadline oriented, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, the other thing I wanted to bring up in this scene in particular that I thought was kind of cool was J.K. Rowling starting to tie different parts of the story together. For example, you know, he's running down the hall and then he sees Neville with all the mandrakes and, you know, from Chamber of Secrets, and then he runs past, or Sir Cadogan is following him throughout the halls, and he played a big role in Prisoner of Azkaban. And then all of a sudden there's Mrs. Norris swiping at a bunch of owls. So I thought it was kind of cool how she was integrating all these random things that we had learned about throughout the course of the series.
It was a really nice little, like, reunion before everyone dies kind of thing.
Yeah. One last hurrah. We all get together and tonight we dine in hell. Yeah. Didn't he also see Neville's Gran? Didn't she also pop up somewhere?
Yeah. And she even said, okay, I'm going to go help out Neville.
And we saw Aberforth. I mean, we saw everybody. I mean, everyone was there. Dumbledore was there, right?
If Dumbledore was in this situation, if he was in the middle of the Battle of Hogwarts, what do you think he would say to Harry?
Well, I mean, I think he'd have a very good word of advice for him, you know? I mean, that's what Dumbledore does, you know?
Yeah. No, but I mean, you know, if we were to get a audio representation of it, you know what I mean? Sort of like a impersonation, I guess you could say.
It is our choices, Harry. Far more than our abilities to determine what we truly are.
I mean,
something like that?
Yeah, something like that, yeah. I think you're right. You're right.
Give it up for Molly Weasley.
What happens next, Micah?
So then Harry runs into Ron and Hermione, who have been in the Chamber of Secrets, collecting basilisk fangs to get rid of Horcruxes.
Now, this is the thing... Hold on, let me cut you off for a second. This is the thing that got a lot of debate. I remember we were talking about this on the summer tour, about Ron suddenly being able to speak Parseltongue. And what was the explanation we came up with?
He remembered what Harry said.
He had heard what Harry said,
after 5 years, he remembered exactly what Harry said.
No, but didn't Harry speak Parseltongue in the book, too? In book 7?
Yes, he did.
So, it could be that Ron actually remembered what Harry said...
Yeah.
In the 7th book. And also we learned that Ron is a good mimic, because he also mimicked Wormtail when they were in Malfoy Manor.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean,
but
come
I think
on.
it was just the thing about having the Parseltongue ability. Like, only those with the ability could truly speak it and truly get, say, the Chamber of Secrets to activate.
Well, also what we're finding out in this chapter especially is that there's more than one way to kill a Horcrux, too.
Yeah.
Not only can you get a sword, but you can use fire, you can use a basilisk fang, you can use... I mean, it's almost like there's like hundreds of ways to get rid of it.
Yeah.
After they all establish they need to get to the Room of Requirement, what happens? Finally, everybody can, you know, put down the gloves on either side of the fight about who was going to get together throughout 7 books.
Dun, dun, who was it?
Oh, it was Aberforth and his goat.
Oh, that's right.
I'm looking forward to... No, I'm not even going to say anything, because that's...
No, you are. You love goats.
Is this going to be a great scene in the movie?
Yeah. It really is. It really is.
Yeah.
So, they're searching... They're in the Room of Requirement. They're searching for the diadem, and they run into Draco Crabbe and Goyle, and Harry goes, oh, great! Just when I'm about to make a breakthrough, I'm about to get rid of that Horcrux, the last Horcrux... Or at least what I think is the last Horcrux.
He doesn't say that.
No, he doesn't, but this is what's going through his head.
Oh.
Suddenly, these three show up, and boy, are they out to kill. Avada Kedavra's curses are flying all over the place, stunning spells, fire.
From Crabbe and Goyle, no less.
Crabbe and Goyle,
no less.
Did
this surprise you guys at all? I mean, Crabbe and Goyle firing these spells.
We finally get to hear them talk.
I mean, I guess they finally have come of age, you know?
Yeah. Not just that, but then also, it's either Crabbe or Goyle who says to Draco, who cares if we don't bring him into Voldemort alive? You and your father are done for anyway. Yeah. So it's like they're on Draco's side, but they know he's done for anyway, so why help Draco to the point of killing?
They were always loyal to Draco because of his family and everything, and now they know Draco's nothing. They're like, well, who are you to tell us what to do now? You know, we can kick your butt now if we want.
Yeah, and Crabbe also got kind of power hungry because, you know, like he was saying, he didn't care if he killed Harry, even though that wasn't what Voldemort wanted. So.
Right.
Yeah, which would have been real smart on his part. He would have ended up dying anyway.
Well, so. He's not exactly the most intelligent character in the series anyway, so.
Yeah, too stupid to live, as we can see, you know?
Yeah.
So anyhow, so as they're duking it out in the Room of Requirement, Crab ends up casting a curse, which we later learned is called Fiend Fire. And what's interesting about this is it's at first sort of a wall of fire that's chasing after them, and it's eating away at the Room of Requirement. But then it breaks down and turns into this army of fiery creatures like dragons, serpents, and chimeras. And their only means of escape is they find a pair of broomsticks, and Harry gets on one, and Ron and Hermione get on the other. Now, one of my favorite moments from this chapter happens now, because as they're flying away, Harry sees Draco and Goyle, and they're about to be consumed by the flames. And as Harry dives down to try and save Draco, Ron yells, "If we die for them, I'll kill you, Harry."
Okay, it's fiend fire.
Fiend fire.
Fiend fiery.
Okay.
Yeah, so Laura got it. Yeah, right. And that's an awesome... Is Ron basically saying that if they die trying to kill Crabbe and Goyle?
It's kind of like a double negative, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. Oh, it is. But it's funny because it's essentially Ron saying, you know, these guys have been on our backs for the last 7 years. They've right. never given us a break.
Yeah.
And not only are they jerks, but they're on Voldemort's side, and now you're trying to save them. Stop being
well,
so freaking
noble. Well, just a second ago,
noble.
They were trying to kill him. I mean, yeah. they're the reason why there's fire around them, and then we're going to save their butts?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it ends up paying huge dividends
yeah,
a couple
it does.
Chapters from now.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So essentially what happens is Harry grabs Draco and Ron and Hermione take Goyle, but they end up not able to save Crabbe, so he perishes in the fire. And Ron was really blunt about it, too, because as soon as they escaped, Draco was kind of sniveling and he was, you know, saying, "Crabbe, Crabbe, where's Crabbe?" And Ron was just like, "Crabbe's dead."
Yeah.
Which he's gone, was, dude.
Yeah. A little bit brutal. But.
So should we play a song for Crabbe? Does anyone have a song in mind for him? I mean, I don't even think he deserves one, quite frankly.
He just doesn't have much of a personality, you know?
Burn, baby, burn.
Burn, baby, burn. Yeah, yeah, let's do that. Let's do that.
Well, there you go. So after they get out of the Room of Requirement, Harry sees that was it the diadem that was actually bleeding almost?
Yeah, it was bleeding yeah. blood out of it, and they're wondering what was going on. And I think it was Hermione, wasn't it, that found out that it was fiend fire?
Yeah,
that Crabbe conjured and fiend fiery. I really don't know how it's pronounced, but
I think it's fiend fire.
Yeah, fiend fire is one of the known killers of Horcruxes or something that just happened to be a huge coincidence.
Yeah, another one of those. But so now the diadem is destroyed, and again we get back to the whole Battle of Hogwarts. Harry realizes what's going on around him, and then all of a sudden there's this huge explosion after they had met up with Percy and Fred. And I don't even know how to go into this, because this was one of the worst death scenes, I thought, in the entire book.
Worse in a good way or worse in a bad way?
The saddest.
Oh, saddest?
I mean,
yeah, yeah.
It's the most tragic.
Right, I mean, Hedwig exploding—that was funny, but.
Oh my god, that's terrible! You're, so mean, you're going to hell.
I'm going to hell.
Yes. Going to hell for making fun of a fictional character dying. Okay,
an owl. Too.
A fictional owl.
A fictional owl. If
PETA is going to be calling you in like a couple hours.
Who is PETA?
PETA.
Jeez.
All right, so Fred dies, and. Just skipping ahead to chapter 32
quick. What I thought was the most kind of creepiest of this whole death, too, was that you can see Fred laughing. His dead face is him, I mean, making his last laugh.
Oh, yeah, you could, what did it say? His last laugh still etched upon his face. So
that's got to be kind of scary, seeing your brother, yeah. or yeah, your brother's death, and he's just smiling up at you with this great excitement.
But at least he died happy, though.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. I get, after it got crushed, but yeah.
Well, at Percy's joke, no less.
So then, chapter 32, just real quick, first sentence in the Elder Wand, chapter 32. It says, "The world has ended, so why had the battle not ceased? The castle fallen silent in horror, and every combatant laid down their arms." I'm sorry, it is a sad death, but did it feel like the world had ended? Should it really have felt like the world had ended? I mean, so many people were dying already. I just...
Well, isn't that just from Harry's perspective? I mean,
it is from Harry's perspective, yeah.
Because the Weasleys have been fighting for him for so long and protecting him.
It was like losing his brother.
So he feels responsible. Yeah.
Fred and George have always acted like his big brother. Like the ones who... not necessarily like his best friend like Ron was, but more kind of like the guys who are always back you up whenever there was a problem or something. And... you know, Harry did care for them because he gave him all of his galleons for the Goblet of Fire. Yeah. So, you know, he saw Fred and George as like two big brothers of his.
Yeah.
And Fred was always the fun one too. He was the more sarcastic one of the two.
So, in tribute to Fred, we are going to play "Blinded by the Light." Oh, that's so sweet. Aww. And that does conclude this week's chapter by chapter, chapter 31. Next week is 32, The Elder Wand, and of course, it's time for Quote Quiz. I'm in a temporary recording setup right now, so I can't play the sound effects, but I'll just do it how I used to. So I'll do this.
Guys, he's in a temporary recording setup, just in case you didn't know, he moved into Southern California. He successfully completed the move. Hasn't got his stuff set up yet. So, not trying to make a big deal about it on the show or anything, but he's in a temporary recording setup.
Anyway. It's time for quote, quiz. Snape, now, I need him. There is a service I require from him. Go. That's Quote Quiz this week. Ben, you are going to bring back an old segment you did a while ago. You used to. It's Ben's top 10 list. So Ben could only think up a few. So Ben, you want to start with the ones you have, and then we'll each take turns making up an excuse for you.
No. You guys do the first six, and then I'll do the last four.
So we'll start with number 10?
Yeah, and the one, and you can't use the one that you told me.
All right, that's fine. All right, Matt, number 10.
He hasn't been on because he's busy at Subway because you get $5 footlongs.
Ooh, good.
That's a very good one.
Number 9, Ben has been spending time at Notre Dame studying very hard.
Yeah, Matt beats you.
It wasn't a joke. It was very serious. I mean, it's the truth. Number 8, Laura.
He doesn't care.
Oh.
That's not true.
I'm just kidding, Ben. I'm just kidding, Ben.
Number 7, Micah?
Because he was filling out adoption papers as the newest member of the Sparks family.
Ooh, snap.
Oh, no. I'm not. I wasn't adopted, really. I just kind of... I don't know. Emerson and I are pals, and we like to collaborate on ideas and such, and so...
Ben, it's okay to live with Emerson. I mean, you don't have to stick up for it. Number 6, Matt.
Okay, number 6. The reason why is Ben is too busy taking photos of Miss Emma Watson.
Number 5 reason Ben has been away from MuggleCast. He's been trying to search for Wi-Fi driving around Nebraska, but he hasn't had much luck.
Yep, I've been stuck up there. So, and the number 4 reason. Oh yeah, I've switched book series. I've been busy reading Twilight.
That was my idea
number
for the
three
record.
Reason, according to Andrea, I've had,
totally didn't see that coming.
Personal issues. Yeah, whatever those are.
What?
The number 2 reason, I was being held hostage by the Pickle Pack Vultures.
Oh, gosh.
The number 1 reason I've missed MuggleCast, I lost the battle against childhood obesity.
That's so sad.
Just
That's
kidding.
So tragic.
Just kidding.
right, Ben, and for old time's sake, to wrap up the show today, would you like to read The Chicken Soup for the MuggleCast
soul?
Well,
you know, Andrew, this has always been my favorite segment.
Really?
Yes. Sierra F., age 15, is Southampton, Pennsylvania, and she writes, "Hey guys, last month I underwent ACL reconstructive surgery in my right knee. Everything went exactly as planned, but I was still in a lot of pain once the anesthesia wore off. For a week following the surgery, it was hard for me, a fairly able-bodied person, to get used to not being able to even walk to the bathroom on my own. At times, it got to be fairly dehumanizing. During my recovery, I didn't go on the computer a lot, but I had saved a lot of episodes of MuggleCast to listen to during this time, and I'm glad I did. In total, I missed about 2 to 3 weeks of school, which works out to a lot of boring days and several sleepless nights. Now, as I'm finishing up the work I missed and studying for finals, I've come down with a horrible cold, making it very hard to talk, breathe, and by extension, sleep. But MuggleCast has helped me relax enough to sleep, even when I felt miserable. This last month has been pretty stressful with everything I have had to do to get caught up at school, and I just wanted to thank you all for helping me through my recovery and providing me with the perfect 90-minute break from the world around me. Pickles, Sierra."
Oh, well, that was very sweet.
Very sweet, you know?
Yeah.
It always makes me happy. It always warms my heart to hear that somebody, you know, can use us, you know, to help get them through, you know?
Yeah. Oh, no, absolutely.
Some people need, everyone has their own way of escaping. And if you really like Harry Potter, I see how a Harry Potter podcast could do that for you.
Yep. That's why we've kept this segment around for so long. Well, I think that does wrap up the show today. We're going to remind everyone about our contact information. Laura, if someone wants to send us some parcel mail, include maybe some late birthday gifts for me, what's the P.O. Box?
Ooh, I don't know about any birthday gifts, Andrew, but they can send all other parcel mail to P.O. Box 3151, Cumming, Georgia, 30028.
Can I also just say thank you to everyone?
That's iPod, Zunes, MP3 players, Xboxes, PlayStations, everything. We take it.
Can I also just say thank you to everyone who left me some birthday messages this week on the voicemail and my email on Facebook. It was very nice seeing all those.
Oh, Andrew, so did you get a birthday post on MuggleNet?
No, I didn't. Nope. I did get one on MuggleCast.com with thanks to Laura.
Aw, dude, I feel like an ass because I remember it was your birthday too. Like, I saw it on Facebook.
It's okay.
You wouldn't forget about me. You should have messaged me.
It's okay. Well, all I have to say is I may forget this year for you, for August. August comes around, I may be a little busy.
You know, Andrew, an eye for an eye just makes the whole world blind.
What?
So, wow, we've got Gandhi on this podcast
now. Yeah, I know. Anyway, back to MuggleCast here. If you would like to call in a voicemail question, comment, or even a listener rebuttal, you can always use the MuggleCast hotline. If you're in the United States, you can dial 1-218-20-MAGIC. And a couple people from Canada wanted me to point out that you can use that number in Canada. It's going to cost you a little bit, but there are no Canadian numbers on Skype, so you would have to dial that number.
And it's your parents' bill anyways.
There you go. If you're in the United Kingdom, you can dial 020-8144-0677. And if you're in Australia, you can dial 02-8003-5668. You can also Skype the username MuggleCast. Just remember, no matter how you call us, keep your message under 60 seconds and eliminate as much background noise as possible. You can also visit MuggleCast.com for a handy feedback form to contact any one of us or just use our first name at staff.mugglenet.com. And as always, don't forget about the community outlets. MySpace, Facebook, YouTube, Prepper, LastFM, fan listing forums. Follow us on Twitter, dig the show at dig.com, and vote for us once a month at Podcast Alley. Now, also, I just want to do a quick little plug. Matt, Laura, and Lisa and I have started up a new Twilight website. Isn't that right, Laura?
That is right. Well, the site is twilightsource.com, and if you go there currently, we have summaries of each of the books. We have up-to-date news, an entire bio section on Stephanie Meyer, plus an area dedicated to the films, but shortly we're looking to have great things like forums, fan fiction, and even a podcast.
Yes, it's going to be your ultimate source for Twilight information, just like MuggleNet is your ultimate source for Harry
Potter. It just seems like only yesterday, you know, we were bashing Twilight because we thought it was just a girls' book series.
And now we're running a website. No, this does not mean we hate Harry Potter and we're going to stop working on MuggleCast or MuggleNet. We're going to be with it just as
much as we've always been. This is basically just an extra thing the four of us want to do in our spare time also.
You know, I guess this is the time to tell you that I'm going to be handing in my 2 weeks.
Don't tell me you're a Twihard.
So visit TwilightSource.com today for all your Twilight information. And that will be one of just a couple plugs we make on the show about Twilight Source. So don't start hating us just because we're plugging our new website. So thank you, everyone, for listening. It's been a great show. Ben, thanks for coming back on. Are we going to see you on again soon?
Yeah, you should. I want to come back around. This is the first pre-recorded episode I've done in a while.
Yeah.
I mean, no, we're coming to you live. And, man,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but no, but it's good to be on. It's good to be back. Next time, hope to be a little more. I hope there's some more interesting things to talk about. I mean, this show wasn't boring by any means. It was sane. I want something spicy. I want a Dumbledore gay revelation. I want something not really.
Well, those are once every once in a while, and we just gotta wait for them. But anyway, thank you everyone for listening this week. Once again, I'm Andrew Sims.
I'm Ben Shane.
I'm Laura Thompson.
I'm Mike Tannenbaum.
And I'm Matthew Britton.
Thank you everyone for listening. We'll see you next week for episode 148. Bye bye.
Bye bye.
Bye.
How about that new Miley Cyrus song? It's like, the last time I freaked out, I was looking down. Stuttering, ask me what I'm thinking about. The next time we hang out, my heart will rest still.
I can't wait.
See you again!
You guys really know your Miley Cyrus.
God,
don't you?
Andrew's
trying to upstage me. Did you guys see that?
No. I just got into the moment.
He's mad because I got on him for being gullible earlier.
Yeah, whatever. Okay, so song or not? Come on.
They're gonna name their kid Laura.
Ooh.
What if it's a girl?
Please don't.
Name their kid Pickles.
Pickles. Yeah, that would be a cute name.
No, it would not.
No,
it would not.
It would be a gross name. Are you kidding? Who would name their kid Pickles?
Come on, dude.
Well, some people name their kids odd things like Apple, so I'm fairly convinced that there are parents out there who hate their children.
Yeah, sorry. Michael Jackson had a kid named Blanket.
Yeah, and Kate...
He's like, come here, Blanket.
Tom Cruise named their kid
Surrey.
Oh,
my beautiful Blanket.
That's a nice name. Anyway...